3 minutes, and then I'm going to this guy.
The way that it's been described to us by Milford Housing and Development Corporation and representatives of DSHA is there is a website that DSHA has available where these tenants register, and they're largely found right there. So what will often happen is if a unit presents itself, you know exactly who that tenant is before that unit becomes available. But internally, we've said we're going to give it 30 days to try to find that tenant, and after 30 days, if we can't, we'll rent at market rate. But
you
then
would turn that over to DSA to say, hey, you guys got 30 days to find me?
No, it's on us. We utilize their resources, and we utilize their website and their ability to find and locate these tenants, as well as Milford Housing Development Corp. But the onus of finding these tenants is on us. One of the reasons for the audit, are we truly making a concerted effort to find these the tenants for the discounted units, or are we just kind of not making an effort and then after 30 days saying, oh, I guess it's market rent? And so someone needs to be looking over our shoulder and telling you guys that we're abiding by the conditions of approval.
What do you envision as the enforcement on that? So you're doing everything you can, but nothing materializes, or you're not doing anything. And what's the county's enforcement when it's not a county program?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it's really related to anything where someone's violating a condition of approval. You guys send a violation notice. You, in this case, you can't withhold building permits because that obviously wouldn't be effective. But I think that probably still needs to be discussed as to what the recourse is if it's determined that we are in violation and kind of in flagrant violation of the conditions of approval.
Because, I mean, I like the RPC reverting back if nothing happens, right? But if the RPC goes if this goes forward and there's a violation, you can't say, oh, you know, we're going back to two units to the acre.
I think it probably should be a fine. And I think the fine should be equal to the money we're bringing in on the market rents relative to the money that we would have been bringing in on the discounted units, which is easily calculable. And that fine should go to the county's.
Well, you know, let me just cut in here, IG. This is all getting awfully complicated. I think we all support affordable workforce housing because the county's trying to do it. Let's get back to the land use. I think we need to look at, is it compatible, the location, where does it fit in the, show us the development district on there, the land use plan map, and show us where this location is.
Were you done?
We're getting.
Mr. Cole. We let you speak all you want.
Hold your horses. Exactly. I'm next.
Mr. Burton still has.
I'm being patient over here.
And the only reason I'm asking these questions, right, because this is a zoning question that has an affordable housing element in it, and quite frankly, the zoning issue without the affordable housing element in it probably doesn't interest me, right? So I got to understand the affordable housing element side of it so that maybe you can look forward at the zoning deal, because that's...
I agree.
You know what I mean?
But without getting into the minutia of it, on any RPC or conditional use or subdivision, there are conditions placed on it. And if those conditions are violated, there's some way to enforce it. That would be Mr. Moore would figure out something nasty to do to the applicant if they didn't comply with it. And I don't think it's a unique problem.
That's fine. All right. That's fine. I give up. I'm done.
Mr. Arnett?
I'm trying to figure something out, and everybody wants to talk about something else.
That's okay.
Yes, two things at minimum. Number one, I think I would agree with Councilman Cole that I think there's very few people in this county who do not agree that we need more affordable housing. We've been talking about it since I've been sitting in this chair for 4 years. And it's something we have to address. We have to address as a county. And I think in the end, there are very few places in this county that, in general, the public would be agreeable to it. In general. So the question is, before us today, is this the appropriate location for the request? That's the question. So, with that being said, I have a couple of questions / concerns. Number one is that this is based on the request that you are permitted to build a 52-foot height building. Now, our code, county code, only permits 42 feet. I know that this zoning...
Not in HR1.
HR permits...
This zoning request, however, permits that. That was my continuation. So my question is, number one, is are there any other buildings anywhere in the facility that has a 52-foot anywhere? So that, as you're thinking on that, my next question is because of the 52 feet height, which is not common, okay, have you addressed or have you reached out to the fire company with regard to their apparatus? And do they have the ability to address a fire in such building?
I can tell you that based upon that discussion on other projects, really none of them have ladder trucks that don't accommodate up to 52 feet. They don't really make ladder trucks for a building of a lesser height than 52 feet.
So, Mike, as a fire chief, past fire chief,
wake up.
Roxanna's not here. Say again?
A 100-foot aerial truck.
So they're good with regard to addressing?
As does Millville.
Okay. So that's important for...
Well, Councilman Arlett, to address your question, some of the multifamily buildings in Bayside are up to 52 feet.
Okay.
The ones they built back in like the mid-2000s. So a mile and a half away.
Those condos?
Yeah.
Those the condo buildings in there? Okay, so that would be the closest location, I would presume.
Correct.
It's
not that common. As you guys know, yeah, there's not a lot of HR1 zoning out
there. Correct. Okay, those are the two biggest ones at this moment. I know that we're going to look forward to hearing a lot from the opposition, if you would, and their concerns. And I look forward to hearing from that. But I will, again, before us today, is this the appropriate location for the request? So that is yet to be determined. But I will applaud the effort with regard to finding solutions to the need that we have in this community, because that's something we have to address.
The only thing I would ask, if you guys determine that this is not the appropriate location, I would ask you to specifically tell me and other developers where, not just generalizations, because I can promise you, any application that comes in front of you, we have scoured this market looking for a property that works for this. We particularly picked this because we loved the fact that it was in a growth district, development zone, in an area of opportunity, and currently looked like it didn't have neighbors. Now, apparently the neighbors 700 feet away are very concerned about this project. But I can tell you this room would be twice as packed if once Natelli develops that land right there. So I tried to get ahead of it in an effort to, or whoever develops it, maybe it's not Natelli now. But that, I think you guys have an application in front of you and will in the next 30 days for a project right there. Because it's really easy to say, we all love affordable housing and workforce housing, and we really think it's great. This just isn't the right location. That's fine saying that, but then tell me where the right location is.
Okay, and then actually, and can you go back to the site plan real quick, Janelle, if you don't mind?
I'm going.
The proposed site plan. Is there any fencing anywhere? I mean, just the natural trees.
No, but I mean that's...
And in fairness to, because you're here, so I will ask, because you're about to go and I can't ask you when you leave. I know you took the video in October, so in the dead of winter in February when all the leaves are gone, I have to assume
that it's more visible.
Will that affect the view?
Yeah, I have to assume.
Just because, I mean, that was your position was based on, you can't see anything.
It's 500 feet of woods.
I understand that.
But I have to assume that if that video were taken a month from now, you are more likely to be able to see the homes in Batson Creek Estates in the distance.
Sure. So majority of the year, no. But in fairness to, because when you're not here, I can't ask you. February, the likelihood that view will change.
Yeah. Okay. I would love to have 500 feet of woods as a buffer in all of my projects.
Sure. No, I understand.
I mean, that's kind of a luxury.
As you presented it, I'm being a devil's advocate.
Let me also add, okay, just to be clear, there is no right to a view. There is no legal right to a view.
I'm not disputing that. It was brought up from his as testimony, so I agree with that.
Mr. Fuqua, before you leave, just one statement. You've given us proposed findings and proposed conditions. Included in those conditions, if the RPC goes away, then the zoning goes away. Can you, since the record, you have proposed the record to be left open, if in fact council does that, that you put together some kind of proposed penalty if this is not followed through in the line of what your client stated on the record. So discuss that and consider it during that time.
penalty, you know, you're referring to the...
If you violate, if you did not go through with the affordable housing portion.
If we're found to be out of compliance.
You're talking about the 2.178?
No.
No.
No, we'll
the
talk
36
about
units
yes.
First
yes.
Not having the 36
we'll do that.
Units.
Yes, okay. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor
thought,
of this application? Oh, excuse
George,
me.
No, I'm not.
Anything
else? This is your last chance.
IG shut me down now. I can't speak now.
Goodness gracious.
I cut it on him. He'll be mad at me for a
while. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Come on up, please. And then another person had their hand up. Be ready to come right up in line. And as you come up to speak, all of you, we'd like to name and address. Put the name and address on the sheet on the clipboard. Give us your name and address before you speak.
How about phone number?
So you can have my phone number if you like it. That's fine.
So you don't want him to.
Good evening. My name is Tyler Burrell. I'm the manager of community development and advocacy for Housing Alliance Delaware. I live in Wilmington. I was born and raised here, spent the first 25 years of my life here, still spend most of the week here as well. So Housing Alliance is a statewide nonprofit with the mission of advancing housing opportunities for all Delawareans, ending homelessness, and promoting vibrant communities across our state. We support the development of a range of housing options to meet the diverse needs of all Delawareans. This includes working to move individuals and families experiencing homelessness to stable, permanent housing, promoting and sustaining affordable housing to low to moderate income households, and supporting policies and programs for homeownership, repair assistance, and foreclosure prevention. I'm testifying here today in support of Ocean Atlantic's company's change of zoning request, which includes a conditional provision of restricting 20% of the project's units to workforce housing affordable to households at 70% of area median income. Sussex County as a whole, and Eastern Sussex County in particular, is facing a hidden housing crisis, which we talked about a lot today. The Delaware Population Consortium projects that by 2045, Sussex County will experience a population growth of just shy of 70,000 permanent part-time residents, which will equate to a need for 21,000 more affordable housing units. Of those 21,000 units, 70% are expected to be needed in Eastern Sussex County in the area we're talking about today. Yet, even if we don't consider the county's future demand, we need to fully understand the housing shortages that our residents are experiencing already. Our private and public nonprofit sector are just not creating the additional units to meet the demand of our current residents. The county currently only has affordable and available housing units for 45% of its extremely low-income renter households, those making at or below 30% of area median income. And just to meet those housing needs, we would need 2,000 additional units right now. And so while we're not talking about 30% of area median income for this project, we have to understand that the housing issue that we have here in Sussex County affects many more people than just 30% of area median income. If we consider just the 3,800 households that make between 50 and 80% of area median income, 50% of those are paying currently 30% or more of their monthly income on rent, which is higher than what the government suggests that you should be, meaning that those 50% of individuals making between $25,000 and $39,000 a year, one out of every two of those are spending more than they should and are making tough decisions between housing or long-term savings or healthcare or transportation or any of those things that we know our residents need to be thriving members in our society. We believe that the Ashton Oaks development proposal is being submitted at a pivotal moment for Sussex County's housing shortage, particularly for the workforce population. This proposed community, located in an area well suited for growth, could ensure that upon completion, 36 units will remain affordable for workforce housing for 30 years. In doing so, 36 Sussex County households making 70% of area median income would ensure that they would never have to spend more than their 30% of monthly income on their housing expenses. In Sussex County, that 70% area median income equates to $33,000 and $33,670 per year.
So I just ask you to consider those jobs that we're talking about at the $33,000, $34,000 a year. And so I went to the Delaware Department of Labor and got these statistics. Our nursing assistants here in Sussex County, $29,000. Our welders, $36,000. Our police, fire, ambulance dispatchers, $38,000. Teachers at CAPE first year, $40,000. Farm workers in the animal production field, our farmers, $30,930 a year. These are hardworking households trying to make ends meet. It is Housing Alliance's Delaware's position that affordable housing should be placed next to job centers, next to high-performing schools, and next to healthy recreation options. This is something that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the U.S. Attorney General agree is the intent of our Fair Housing Act and our subsequent equity laws. The Ashton Oaks community is being proposed on a roughly 15-acre parcel that the comprehensive plan has labeled a growth area. The parcel is also a Delaware State Housing Authority designated area of opportunity and an area designated as level 3 in the state of Delaware strategic state strategies for policies and spending. All these classifications are indicative of an area prime for development, as we've already discussed. Finally, and importantly, a vast body of research has concluded that the provision of multifamily dwellings, such as Ashton Oaks, in growth areas promote economic mobility for low and moderate income households and provides greater racial equity in neighborhoods of opportunity. For these reasons, I and Housing Alliance Delaware support Ocean Atlantic Company's request today that the Sussex County approve the change of zoning request put forward here. Thank you.
Thank you. There was someone that raised her hand back there. Come on, Dan. And Mr. Witzel, I see, are you going to be representing some of the opposition?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
He can use this bike trail when he gets fixed up for him. Put down something riding.
Hi, good evening. My name is Josh Grabsky, resident of Lewis for 14 years, and I'm a primary owner of Levita Hospitality Group, which employs about 200 to 400 employees, depending on the time of the year, through Crooked Hamburg Brewery, Fork and Flask, Big Chill Beach Club, Big Chill Surf Cantina, a catering company. I'm primarily here to just put as much emphasis as I can on workforce housing. We have continued to see more and more difficulty of attracting a workforce here that can supply what I think of as a great amenity for the residents of Sussex County. And as we've tried to grow and continue to be part of the community, that becomes more and more difficult. We recently hired a chef from out of the area, and it took him 4 months of us wrangling different places to try and find him housing just so he could move down here to work and be part of our organization. In addition to that, we constantly hear from potential candidates that do not live close to us, somewhere about 30 minutes beyond where we are, that they think it's too far to come work for us. As a result, struggle to find people specifically in our kitchens to work for us. I certainly respect that I do not know all the implications of this specific application, but I do want to emphasize that that's real important to us. The only other thing I have to offer is that as an owner of Crooked Hammock Brewery, Beach Plum Dunes has been a very big benefit to us. Not only do we have a number of hammock employees, but as Levita Hospitality, we also have other employees that house there. And so I think we're up to 11 units that are there, and have employees that range from the $35,000 a year bracket up to people who make over $80,000 a year with us housed in that community. And it's been a good godsend for us to have such housing available to us. So I don't look at it as just the affordable units that is working for workforce, but just any rental unit for a majority of my workforce that would be applicable for such a situation. In addition to that, just observations I've made as being at Crooked Hammock traffic over the course of the last 3 years is I haven't seen a tremendous amount of traffic impact. I certainly don't count it every day, but we don't see that as a major problem. And the people who live there, not only my employees, but people we've gotten to know around that, are all good people. I got the inclination from sitting here listening the last couple hours that this was going to be a situation that brings the dregs in or something like that, and I can only attest to what I've seen that's not the case. It's a very safe neighborhood, and the employees who I talk to who live there in preparation of this all enjoy living there and feel like it's a great community. So again, this isn't up for me to decide about this specific application, but I wanted to address you gentlemen as expressing myself that this is really important to us as a amenity to all the residents who want to come and move here. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone, did you write your name and address? I'm sorry, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? I think Mr. Witzel just stepped out the room for a minute, and it's my understanding that he's going to speak for some of the opposition. Yes, good.
I'm fine, Mr. Witzel.
Yes.
No whistle for him.
Mr. Witzel, we were just calling for opposition.
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, members of council, good evening. My name is Robert Witzel.